Rubio v. Gonzalez.
May it please the Court, David Lehman on behalf of the petitioner. This is a case that primarily involves credibility findings by the immigration judge. And in my brief, I have gone through his reasoning in his oral decision. And I submit that each of the reasons that he gave for an adverse credibility finding will not bear serious scrutiny. One example involved testimony as to the locus of a certain demonstration, which my client was instrumental in organizing. And the immigration judge said that he was not credible because he mentioned at one point it was at a stadium, and at the and elsewhere that it was on the campus of the University of Kokodi in Ivory Coast, which is a bit like saying that I'm inconsistent if I say something happened at Stagg Field. And in another statement, I mentioned that it was on the campus of the University of Chicago, when the stadium is on the campus. There is an issue in the case about the parsing of three summonses, which my client stated were served upon him in requiring his attendance after it was in July of, it was 2002. The immigration judge stopped the trial. Incidentally, the trial counsel for the government didn't question the summonses. The trial was stopped by the immigration judge. He sent them to the embassy in Ivory Coast. At a later point, a report came back, a double hearsay report, and in essence, the immigration judge relied upon a statement attributed to a former Ivorian police officer. That would be a former officer of the government from which my client was claiming asylum. The immigration judge felt that there's an issue in the case about the typography and the grammar of the three summonses, which the client testified had been served upon him.
Who presented those three pieces of?
They were presented by the Mr. Dumbia at his interview at the asylum office, and this is referred to. There is a document in the record I've cited in the brief. The three summonses were presented both to the asylum officer and to the immigration court. And in fact, the originals were turned over to the government attorney, the trial attorney in the immigration court. The petitioner, the asylum applicant, presented the summonses. At two points during the various hearings before the immigration judge, I asked for the return of these three summonses so I could submit them to a forensic examiner here in Chicago. Because the immigration judge, and he has this in a footnote in his in the oral decision that he dictated at the end of the third day of the trial, he refers to the summonses as being photocopies. My recollection is they were not photocopies. When I had them in my possession, it appeared to me that they had been actually printed on a printing press. The immigration judge speaks in terms of, he says, three lines are repeated. Well, in my brief, I set forth and the copies of the summonses are in the record. They do make grammatical sense. So, and then the immigration judge made another point about the numbering of at the head of these three documents. There is a summons number and a reference to a date. At the foot of the documents, there's the phrase "done at Abobo." It's in French, of course, and the actual dates, I believe, of service are at the foot of the summons of each summons, and those correlate to the testimony of the client. It's my the case was continued. I presented two lay witnesses at the continued hearing who testified as to the various formats of these summonses in this country, that each police arrondissement or district has discretion, much like the circuit courts here in Illinois. They print their own forms, and if you're up in Lake County, the format of an order or a summons up there can be quite different from, say, out in DuPage or here in Cook County, that rebutted a point that was made in this hearsay document concerning the typography in the summonses.
Did you get back the documents you tendered?
No, Judge. I requested them twice, and I did not get them back. The government, in its brief, says something to the effect that I really didn't need them back. But my point was, if you read the footnote, and I believe I cited in the brief, or I quoted the judge, he refers to them as being photocopies. And I don't think my recollection is they were not. They were, you could tell, on the underside of the paper, they apparently were printed on a printing press.
Whatever happened to them?
Well, I think either the Forensic Document Laboratory, I hope, still has them, or they may be in the custody of the district council here in Chicago. They were never returned to me. So my point on that, his credibility finding on that point, I submit, cannot be sustained.
You didn't keep copies?
Oh, the copies are in the record, but...
Well, the discrepancies that formed the basis of the adverse credibility finding and the report from the embassy could be either confirmed or refuted based on copies. They didn't depend upon originals.
Yes, they
because
did.
Because it had to do with the lines being repeated and the case numbers that sort of thing. The wrong name of the police commissioner. Apparently the police commissioner whose name was on the summons wasn't the police commissioner at the time.
Well, you would need a forensic exam. The immigration judge refers to them as photocopies, as if somebody has taken two documents and spliced them together and created something on a copying machine. And a forensic examination of the original would have rebutted that, because it's my recollection that was not the case. He says that in a footnote to his opinion and on the record.
You're into your rebuttal time. You probably only have about a minute left.
I'll yield the floor at this time, Judge.
Mr. Douglas.
Your Honor, my name is Nathaniel Douglas. I represent the United States of America, Attorney General Gonzalez. I'm an attorney in the Environmental Enforcement Division who has worked on this immigration brief. Your Honor, counsel said this case turns on credibility. It absolutely does not turn just on credibility. It turns on credibility plus the failure of the applicant to show that he meets the requirements for past persecution, plus the failure of the applicant to show that he meets the requirements for future persecution or has a well-founded fear of future persecution. This applicant attempted to enter the United States in 1999. He was denied admission. He came back in 2002, and at this point, in 1999, he returned to the Ivory Coast, and he enrolled at the local university. The applicant contends that he was appointed assistant secretary of the Republican Party. I think it was called the RDR. He claimed that he conducted a rally on campus protesting the government and government's abuses, and that he and eight other students were arrested, and that he was detained for 3 days. Your Honors, the record shows that there are a number of contradictions in the testimony of the applicant versus his written application. One of the major inconsistencies is the fact that the applicant said in his application that the attack during the rally, he said in his testimony before the court that the attack was by government soldiers. However, in his application for asylum, he said that the attack was caused by government soldiers and students who belonged to the ruling party. And we think that is a material contradiction in terms of his application and his testimony, and that goes towards his credibility. The applicant also said in his application for asylum that he was attacked by persons with knives, weapons, and machetes. However, in testifying, he did not testify that he was attacked with knives, weapons, and machetes. And we think that's a major difference in terms of the application in the testimony. And that's material. It goes to the heart of his claim. The court also found that in addition to the credibility problems with respect to the application, some of his documents appeared to be false or doctored. For example, the applicant submitted, as part of his record, his membership card in the RDR, showing that he was a member. The immigration judge questioned whether or not the photograph on this card was a photograph of a photograph, because it had a little circle up in there, I believe, the left-hand corner. And it really put into question whether or not this was a legitimate membership card. There is no testimony in this record that actually refutes the immigration judge's finding that this card appears to be doctored. The applicant testified in court that the photograph represents, he went back to the original photographer and got another copy of the photograph. And the court said, what explains the reason for this little circle up in the corner of the photograph? And he said, well, I think there was something on the wall. We don't think that the applicant gave reasonable testimony to rebut the immigration judge's concern about this membership card. The court also had concerns with the applicant's expert witness in terms of whether or not that expert witness corroborated the applicant's claim. I would note for the court, and we make this very clear in our brief, that the applicant's expert contended that if the immigration judge took the applicant's asylum application to be true, everything in it to be true, then she would opine that if he were returned to the Ivory Coast, he would be harmed. That's not possible in this case because the immigration judge has found concerns with the application and whether or not this applicant qualifies for asylum. And therefore, the testimony of the expert witness has no value because it's based upon an application that the court had substantial credibility problems about and about a record that shows that the applicant has submitted false documentation. So we don't think the expert's opinion can be accepted in this case. I want to talk a little bit about the subpoenas also because they were false documents. It is true that the court asked the State Department to give a report, and that report came in. However, two things are very clear about that report. The report said that the commissioner on the summonses was not the commissioner at the time that the applicant was said he was issued the summonses. That is never addressed by the applicant and his attorney in the record. Not at all. Absolutely not. And the other issue is the repeated lines. There was an attempt by the applicant to explain the reason for the repeated lines, but keep in mind that the applicant at the last day of the hearing submitted other summonses from other witnesses. There was also a summons that was submitted by the State Department when it came back with the report. Not one of the other summonses in this case has any issue concerning lines being repeated. The only summonses that have an issue with lines being repeated would be the summonses submitted by this applicant. The court had strong concerns regarding these summonses, and we think that the applicant never replied to the court's concern and addressed the court's concern. The repeated lines and whether or not the person listed on the summonses was, in fact, the commissioner at the time. We believe that the record clearly shows that the credibility findings were correct and does not compel reversal by this court. We believe that the applicant has failed to show past persecution in pursuant to the statute and has failed to show a well-founded fear of future persecution. I think my time is about to run out.
You have rebuttal time, so it's not till the red light goes on that you're out of time.
The final point we would make is the applicant based his claim for past persecution based on the fact that there was his one rally in the three-day detention. The immigration judge clearly found that the kind of harm that the applicant suffered does not arise to the occasion that this court has applied in other cases, and we cite those cases in our brief in terms of the harm suffered. In fact, the record here shows that the applicant had very little harm. The harm is based upon a statement by a doctor in 2004 who interviewed the applicant, I believe, a few days before the hearing or the day of the hearing and gave a statement. There is no record showing that this applicant actually suffered the kind of harm that he would claim that would justify a finding of past persecution. We'd also point out to the court that the applicant bases his request for a well-founded fear of future persecution based upon the fact that his brother was in the Ivory Coast and left the Ivory Coast, now lives in France. There's actually no connection to record showing that the applicant, if he were returned to the Ivory Coast, would be harmed based upon his brother's activities either in Ivory Coast or in France. There's just nothing in the record to support that potential concern. In fact, the record here shows that the name Dumia is a very common name in the Ivory Coast. And if the applicant were to return, he would be, again, a person has a very common name, so there's no real basis for anybody to attribute activities by his brother who has that name to himself. And finally, we believe that the record shows that the applicant contends that if he were to return to the Ivory Coast or be forced to return, that he may be harassed or sought after by the police because of his father. Well, the record in this case has no evidence at all regarding political activities of the father or any activities by the father that would cause harm to this applicant. There's absolutely no information in this record to show any actual political activities on the part of the father that could be attributed to the son. The record is solid on that. We would conclude by saying that the record here does not compel this court to reverse the adverse credibility findings or the court's finding regarding the false documentation submitted by this applicant. We'd also say the applicant has failed to establish that he meet the requirements for past persecution and that he has a well-founded fear of future persecution. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Douglas. Eamon, how much time? I'm sorry?
45 seconds.
Okay. We'll give you a full minute for that.
Yes, may it please the court. I've set forth in extensively Ambassador Jones or Professor Jones' opinion, which does support the position that this was an approvable case under the asylum law. Counsel is correct that the key issue is the judge's credibility findings. I've quoted at page 21 of the brief the written statement of the applicant, of the petitioner here, and I submit it's completely consistent with what he testified to in court. And I won't repeat the arguments here. On the other point about the photograph being a copy of a photograph, that forensic report was sort of sprung on us on the last day of the trial. But I'll just make this observation. In Illinois, we have attorney bar cards that we sometimes use to get into courthouses, and attorneys have the option of putting their photographs on the back, which I do. And this is a copy of a photograph of me that I had made and had embossed on my bar card. So the whole point about that they make about the membership card is, I think it's adequately, the man did say that it was the photograph was a copy of a photograph. And I don't see how that destroys his credibility.
Thank you, Mr. Lane. Thanks to both counsel.